This is the Pacifica National Finance Committee meeting for Tuesday, October 22nd. Having a quorum present, Mr. Crozier, will you please take the roll?
Why?
Or Paul.
Do that?
Hello?
Or Paul's the secretary for this committee.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Bill. God, this has been a long day for me. R. Paul.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Lyndon Foley. R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. James Sagerton, Nancy Sorden, Tamara Swiderski. Okay, we have six, which is a quorum.
Wonderful. Okay, so due to technical difficulties, we weren't able to get the agenda out until just a few minutes ago. And there's been two changes to the agenda since then. So I am going to read an amended agenda right now since transmission has proved to be somewhat difficult this evening. So the agenda goes as follows. Convene meeting 5:30 p.m. Roll call. Approve agenda, and then we're striking the minutes approval as no minutes are available at this time and substituting instead an item that has popped up. We are losing our Yahoo archive, so we need to archive the very precious records of the National Finance Committee. And so we're going to put that on the agenda for item four for a 15-minute discussion to try and figure out how to deal with that. I'm going to yield half of my time. I was going to make a statement on the financial statements. I'm going to yield half my time for reasons I'll elucidate in a few moments. That would be item five, and it's now 10 minutes. If I need more time, I'll ask to extend, but I don't think I will. And then for item six, we have the discussion of financial status of Pacifica for an hour. Then any new business that has to be transacted is item seven, and adjourning no later than 10:15 p.m. So do I have any changes or updates or edits to the agenda as amended? Go ahead, Arthur.
First convened meeting would be 8:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Thank you.
See, and so five would be statement from chair on financial status of Pacifica, right?
Correct.
To have financial status, so Bank of Pacifica, and then we have 60 minutes of, I guess, discussion of that. Okay.
Yeah, oral discussion if you prefer. You know, there's a lot to talk about on the finance side, and like I say, there is a swirl of numbers right now, so. We can talk about, anything that you guys want to discuss on that front. And I would really appreciate as much feedback as you can give me because, like I say, I'm being pressed hard for good numbers by a lot of different people. And I've reached the point where I'm kind of going, what is going to be the most effective way to transmit this stuff given the disparities between various pieces of accounting that I'm receiving? So I just want to go through that with you guys, and hopefully you can help me figure that out, sort that out. Do I have any objections to the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item four. A brief discussion on archiving the Yahoo stuff. R. Paul, can you explain the situation for those who are not aware of it?
Chair Mansoor is here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mansoor.
Okay.
We got you.
Yeah. What happens is Yahoo has announced that they've moved the date, that as of next Monday, the 28th of October, You will not be able to add what they refer to as content, which is mostly files. For us, it's going to be all of those files of years and years of budgets, of financial reports, of meeting minutes, of everything else. I don't know if people generally go looking at the group, but if you look up at the files, for other places, by the way, it's a lot of photos and things. We don't, let me look. I don't think there's any, yeah, we don't have any, oh, we do. We have some photos in there. It looks like somebody posted a few photos of financial reports. But we have budget documents going back to 2004, miscellaneous old documents, loads and loads of stuff up here, and it's the history of, one, this committee, and two, it's also largely, it's the financial history of Pacifica during the time of this particular governance structure. And so probably we need to make sure we don't have that go away. Now, we can't post any more of it after the 28th. However, Yahoo says it's going to stay there until December 14th. And they say you have until December 14th to retrieve all your stuff. After that, it's going, you know, they're going to erase it. Basically, Yahoo has been bought and sold a couple of times. A group called Oath, O-A-T-H, last I heard, is what owns it now. From what I can tell, they have made a business decision that they don't want to have to spend money on what turns out to be rather a huge amount of storage that Yahoo Groups has turned into. Because I know one of the Pacifica groups, the person in charge of it, put everything she ever had up there, and it's over like 100 megabytes of stuff. And other groups are like that too. We don't take up much. We don't take up much at all, but other groups take up a whole lot. We only take up 93.2 megabytes of 2 gigabytes. But there are groups around, not in Pacifica, that actually get up close to 2 gigabytes. So the company has decided to hell with that. And we'll be able to do emails back and forth, as much as we're generally able to, not tonight apparently. But we are not going to be able to do any more loading of budgets, et cetera, up there. And plus, we got to get all that stuff down. So that needs to get done.
Okay. Paul, have you researched alternatives to the Yahoo site, I mean, that are publicly accessible?
There's a suggestion from eons ago that Pacifica actually take on the chore of setting something up. That would probably be a good idea, but I don't see that happening. It didn't happen when it was suggested, and I don't see it happening right now. What to do? I'm looking at something. A lot of people like Google. I will be posting a little article about alternatives to Google, because Google is actually, well, to put it rather severely, Google is part of the surveillance state. Using Google gets you surveilled like crazy. All of your data gets grabbed, whether you're on their groups or whether you're searching or doing anything else. Going to YouTube, they own a lot of stuff. And so if you go to a Google or a Google subsidiary, of which there are many, your data is grabbed. All of this is consolidated. Dossiers are made up, and they sell that data. They also hand it to law enforcement, which some people don't like. And so yes. I'm looking at an article about alternatives to Google, and I haven't fully researched that yet, but we might want to consider that.
Okay. Is it possible for you want to saddle you with a burden that you're uncomfortable with, Paul? If you are uncomfortable with this, just say so, and I'll ask if there's anybody else who wants to volunteer for this service. But are you willing to continue researching this and report back to us in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I guess it would be?
Yeah, I'll look at that.
Okay. In the meantime, 3 weeks from now, we won't be able to post anything. So I don't know how we'll handle that. Yeah. So we're in limbo, or we're going to be in limbo as of the next meeting. One final question, R. Paul. How many? I'm gathering that this service is common to Pacifica. It's not just the NFC. Is that correct?
Oh, it's to all of Google Groups. There are, I don't know how many thousands upon thousands of Google Groups there are.
It's right. Everything. No, Yahoo Groups, and I believe what I'm asking is, are the other committees, to the best of your knowledge, using this same service?
As far as I know, all but one of them, all but one of the committees for Pacifica use Yahoo Groups. One committee was experimenting with using Google Groups, but as far as I know, everybody else is up on Yahoo.
I also have my misgivings about Google. They seem to be in the business of data mining, and I find the trend kind of worrisome. I'm not sure what we can find that values our privacy, but I am a very staunch privacy advocate, so it does frighten me considerably to expose myself in that particular way. I would appreciate an emphasis on privacy, but it seems like we share that. I don't think I need to elaborate.
Fred.
Can I be on stack about this?
Sure, man. Absolutely. We got five more minutes on this item. Go ahead.
In terms of privacy, our own server would probably be the best solution for that. And in terms of the amount of data, 2 gigabytes these days is nothing. The question is, how difficult is it to download this stuff from Yahoo? I mean, can you download whole groups at a time, or do you have to do it a file at a time? And that's all I have to say.
Okay. I can't answer that question. Can you, R. Paul?
Yeah. Basically, some stuff is misery. I've had to do this for other things, and for instance, attachments. See what you got up there on their web thing is you've got files where, for instance, I will send the minutes up there, and there's a folder that has the minutes in it. But then there are attachments, and when you send an attachment, it goes elsewhere. It's misery to get it down. It was difficult when I had to do it a couple of years ago, and it's worse now because Firefox has changed how they do a few things, and the old software that made it very easy, a little attachment in Firefox that allowed you to download things, wouldn't work on the attachments. They would work on other stuff, so I could bring down a lot of things all at once. But in terms of attachments, I'm looking at attachments right now, and I see attachments going back to April 14th, 2009. We've got 10.5 years of attachments up there. So there is that. And that may require one at a time. I'm going to be researching because this is affecting a lot of people, and there are a lot of suggestions for it, for exactly what to do. And as I said, Firefox has changed, and old solutions that I used to use don't apply anymore. So this may be a case of some things could come down pretty easily, and some things are going to be one at a time, and it's going to take a long while here.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to add myself to the stack. Who is next, Mansoor?
Mansoor, yes. Okay. I actually see a blessing in disguise from Google. I mean, you don't have to listen to me whatsoever about this. But since for each financial number within Pacifica's paperwork, there are 250 million opinion on it. And since Pacifica's don't believe in professional people who do the numbers for us, maybe somebody on the other side of Google can help us out and straight this things out. So, you know, put it on Google. Maybe some agency would help us. Thanks.
Okay. Bill, were you next?
No.
Who is next? Okay. Nobody? Okay, Fred, that wanted a place in line there. So my question to you, R. Paul, is how critical are the attachments in terms of data?
Well, looking at them, one thing I see is draft minutes. We don't need those, but there are other things. You know, people do what they please in terms of attachments, and you can't tell what some people are doing. There's a statement of accounting up here. There's confidential something or other up there, revised budgets. So it's hard to see what, you know, at a fast glance, it's hard to see what in the past 10 and a half years is up there that we need to deal with or that we need to say, oh, we don't need to download that. So that's hard to say. In terms of the files, it should be easier, I'm hoping. But I can't give a guarantee on that right now because, again, things have changed.
Okay. Thank you, R. Paul. We're almost out of time on this. Are there any final – would anybody like to have a final word on it?
Bill.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know about what it takes to download stuff, and maybe we don't have to have the attachments. That's probably a lower priority, assuming people have already got them from their mail. But, you know, there's other services like Dropbox and Box that even provide free services for sharing files. I don't know if they're more or less secure than Yahoo, but I know you can control access so that, you know, people, you know, have to have you can either make it available to anybody publicly or you can control access. So just something to think about.
Okay.
And they're hierarchical. You can have folders and you could have nested folders in them.
Nancy's here.
Hi, Nancy. We were just discussing archiving the NFC the NFC Yahoo group because our data there is going to be shut down in approximately a week. It's not going away in a week. It's not going away for almost 8 weeks, but it's we're not going to be able to upload starting 6 days from now. And so I since R. Paul is our archivist currently, I've saddled him with the horrific task of researching alternatives to this particular site that we've been using and reporting back to us in 3 weeks. We'll have to have a solution before then because we won't be able to upload anything 3 weeks from now. So hopefully we can iron this out, nail it down, and get it going next meeting or shortly thereafter. The next item, is any final words?
Okay. Will we be able to access it after the...
Yes, we can continue accessing it for 8 weeks and until I'm imagining until, well, probably even downloaded, but December 14th is the day that they purge it.
But we won't be able to communicate on it when?
Well, communication is not going to be an issue. Just the postings will be an issue. So, well, at least theoretically. Tonight, the communication did not work. But that's a separate issue. Hopefully it'll get resolved.
Right. 21st,
but,
yeah.
We won't be able to refer to that archive number 14. Unless it's moved to a different location, which is what the objective is here.
Okay.
Okay. So cross your fingers. I know that there's two issues here. Of course, there's actually pulling the data down, and then there's getting it up in a form that we can all like access in a way that makes sense. I backed up a discussion group about 10 years ago, and they the wonderful surprise I got was what they gave me was comma delimited text. I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with that before, but it's a nightmare to unscramble something that is just basically one continuous stream of data with commas between it. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
Actually, it's not that difficult. It's a pain in the ass, but, you know, it's not that difficult. I do not believe that that would be extra work for Yahoo. Yahoo's going to leave stuff on their servers as it is and then kill it. So they're not going to, you know, they're not going to spend
any money on
making a monstrous tar file out of this thing. So,
Okay. All right. So I was going to have a 20-minute discussion of the financial status of Pacifica, but I've been pouring these reports for the last 2 hours, and the further I get into it, the more confused I get. So I just want to explain why I'm confused and what I'm looking for and what I hope to gain in the next couple of weeks, by asking a billion questions of Tamara, who is largely unavailable right now because she's busy generating reports for people and working with outside agencies like the auditor and stuff like them. But basically what we have is let's just have a quick overview of the data that's out there right now, the financial data of Pacifica. So there is the primary thing that's being circulated right now is what Tamara is calling a cash flow summary. Robin Collier pointed out that might not be a very precise term in terms of what I am used to seeing for a cash flow summary. Normally, a cash flow summary is kind of a reconciliation statement between a balance sheet and a profit and loss. And since we don't actually have balance sheets right now, it's impossible to say, you know, how the cash flow summaries are arrived at. It's not quite as straightforward as most people would think in that, you know, when you go from a profit and loss cash flow summary, what you normally do is take all of your accrual items out. And then, you know, there's a whole bunch of other material in there that is kind of, and non-cash items like depreciation are pulled out too. So you got a whole bunch of stuff that gets removed, but without a balance sheet to compare it to, it's difficult to know what those items are. In other words, if I wanted to say, if I'm looking at a profit and loss statement and a cash flow statement, if I have them both sitting on my desk and I want to figure out how to reconcile those two statements because they're not agreeing with one another, the only way that I know of to do it is through a balance sheet. But as I say, I don't have balance sheets and because they haven't been posted or published yet. And so I'm finding it impossible to look at the cash flow summaries and make sense of them in the way that I'm normally accustomed to. But in addition to that, what is being termed a cash flow summary is probably more precisely like a cash profit and loss. Although, like I say, without the balance sheet, it's very difficult for me to even make that determination. So I'm a little bit confused as to what I'm even looking at in terms of the cash flow summaries, which is why I haven't spent a lot of time discussing or addressing those statements, even though they're being widely circulated and questioned right now. I'm still waiting to receive balance sheets, and once I do, hopefully I can make sense of it. But right now it's confusing. To add an extra layer to the confusion, when I get station budgets from people, those stations that aren't connected to the software that Tamara is using are producing independent budgeting statements. Those independent budgeting statements are also not agreeing for obvious reasons. They're not connected to the same software. They're not using the same numbers. So for someone who likes to analyze figures, it's driving me absolutely insane. And so I've been sitting here like slowly losing my mind all afternoon trying to figure out whose numbers are right, what exceptions or corrections were made, and how to reconcile all this stuff. I think there are some general things that can be said. We should probably, since it's the most widely circulated document at this time, start with the cash flow statement. I'm almost out of time. I got 3 minutes left here, but I'll try and encapsulate it. I'll try and bottle it quickly. The cash flow summary is a projection. It contains some data that is already part of them, but it also contains some projection numbers, which are not part of the system. The 19 figures and the 20 figures are both projections. The 19 figures are a six-month projection, and the 20 figures are a 12-month projection. Setting aside my inherent distaste for projections, I have no special fondness for them because they're notoriously inaccurate. But there were underlying assumptions for the projections. The first assumption was that revenues would continue declining over the 18-month period of the projection. In some cases, that's already changed. At least according to the books that were released by Maria at KPFA, the revenues were actually up at KPFA rather than down. Now, once again, I'm just going by Maria's books for now. They haven't been crunched through and confirmed and digested by Tamara, so I don't have any way of affirming that those numbers are accurate, but that's what's being reported. So on a preliminary basis, at least that station is already off by a considerable amount. The additional assumptions here are that the healthcare expenditures will be increasing. I believe she specified 25%. I can
20.
Thank you. I was just about to pull it in. Okay.
Sorry. I just was looking.
Can you say she, do you mean Tamara? Tamara specified it at 20%?
Yes. So, and I think that's a very conservative estimate. I actually prefer conservative assumptions over more liberal ones. In that, you know, if you follow the conservative assumptions, you end up coming out ahead. I mean, it can be an overall benefit as long as you don't react in a completely rash and irrational way to those conservative assumptions. But here's the thing that everybody needs to understand is that you know, the stations that have a lot of personnel are going to have a lot of extra expense and a lot of extra negative cash flow associated with that set of assumptions, right? Because if you have four times the number of personnel as another station, then your healthcare premium assumption is going to be four times worse than any other. So I'm going to consume four times as much, four times as much overage in cash as any other station. So there's some distortions going on that are alarming. And I would precaution people not to get overly alarmed for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, you can shop healthcare stuff, but it's not a fixed commodity in the marketplace. And in addition to that, you know, if people retire or leave the station or are laid off, it can bring those things into greatly attenuate those issues if they come to pass. So there's no one final thing is that the 20%, of course, hasn't come to pass, right? It's an assumption on the cash flow statements. It might not come to pass at all, and if it does, it'll happen over time. So it's not going to happen immediately. But this is something that if it comes to pass, we're going to need to get our arms around. But it's not an exigent problem. So that's my kind of brief general survey of all this stuff. And I wish it were a lot less confusing than it is, but it is horribly confusing. And I think there are quite a few elements in the organization that are taking advantage of that confusion, which is to be expected, honestly, in that, you know, you can almost make any case by looking at these numbers for or against certain positions that you might hold about what needs to be done. And that's a problem for us. We need to get all these statements tied together in a way that they all agree and all make sense. And then we can all agree too, instead of arguing about what the meaning of these numbers are. So anyway, I'm sorry that I couldn't be, I was hoping to be way, way more clear about this at this point. I can also make some general statements about the stations based on all these varying competing pieces of numbers. If somebody wants to, if we want to go into that in the next, on the next item, which I would suggest, honestly, the state of affairs in terms of the financials. So Nancy, we were going to enter into a discussion period about the financials at this point, which is a 60-minute item. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to step right into that.
Okay, I'll just save this for then. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. I'm finished. So you're first on the stack. I'll take a stack for this item, and I'm sure that there'll be ample discussion. That's what I'm anticipating anyway. So Nancy's first. Who else wants to be on the stack?
Bill.
Bill. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start off with Nancy. Go ahead, Nancy.
With respect to the health care, you mentioned shopping around, and I don't know if there's a specific season, like an open season, that we have to do that during. There may be some requirements tied to the union contracts that we need to keep in mind to see if we can shop around for lower health premiums. And if we can, maybe, we need to, that's one area where we can look into it. Tamara was saying that our health benefits are much, much higher than other nonprofits like us. They're really, 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 really good health benefits. And they need to be quite, she said we could save considerable amount of money if union contracts did not prohibit us from changing that.
Yeah, I can definitely testify to that. I mean, every organization that I'm involved with other than Pacifica, and I don't, incidentally, I'm not involved with any other nonprofit, so I can't speak to that part of it, but offers considerably less benefit than Pacifica does. I'm not suggesting that, that I'm not spanking Pacifica for that. I think it's great that Pacifica does. I also think it's probably a good idea to review it in light of our exigent circumstances, or what possibly will be our exigent circumstances next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or Paul?
Yeah.
Paul?
Okay. Yes. I've been looking at the cash flow for the interim CFO, and I came with a bunch of questions for tonight, which we're not going to get answered because she's not here.
Well, Paul, can I interrupt you just for a second? Can I interrupt you just for a second? I did ask Tamara a series of questions by email. So if it just happened that your question was covered, go ahead and ask whatever. I understand that you probably have more questions than I can answer. I fully anticipate that, but I can also copy them down and put them in an email to get a response from her. So go ahead and ask what you have to ask.
Well, the first thing to ask is Nita stopping working for Pacifica at the end of this month? Because certainly we've been seeing that this was going to happen, maybe, and I'd like to know if that statement is currently real, or if Nita is going to still be there on November 1st. So, I don't know, if anybody here knows, they might say. Otherwise, I'm sure Nita knows one way or another, but I'd like to hear about that. Also,
okay.
Without getting into specifics, because I'm looking at specific numbers, and it comes down to where did the interim CFO get the FY18 and FY19 figures from? Because without getting into the details, I've got a whole bunch of questions about some of this, which, you know, some of it just doesn't make sense, all right? So that's it. Is Nita still going to be there in another week and a half? And where did these figures for FY18 and 19 come from? I mean, FY18, we should really have down. It's not, you know, that much of a projection, I should think. So I don't know. Those are my major questions at this point in time.
Okay, I can give you a partial answer to your first question and a partial answer to your second one. I know that Nita has been discussing pulling out. I don't think the timetable was that short, but it's been weeks. I asked this question, and so now I'm starting to wonder whether I was thinking then, oh, a month, okay, you know, that sucks. And now it's 3 weeks into the month, and maybe it is a week, but I thought it was the end of November that they were thinking of pulling out. But part of the problem here is that Nita's owed, and I believe that it's 60,000 now, and it's going to be more than that shortly. And so, you know, nobody wants to work for nothing. That's part of what is driving the horrors in the organization right now. And so I know that Nancy that put an item on in the last meeting about this. And I think it's very alarming and worrisome if we lose the accounting, because I just, for the first time in 3.5 years, I'm starting to feel like I have a fighting chance of figuring out what the hell is going on. And if that goes away, I don't know what purpose I would serve anymore, because, you know, I won't have any information going. I'll have the same information that I had 3.5 years ago, which is not sufficient to actually come to any conclusions. And I'm deeply worried about that. The second question I can answer a little bit more fulsomely. I spoke to not Anita, but Tamara for about 20 minutes this morning. And one of the issues that we discussed was the status of the fiscal year 18 reports. And as I understand it, it is the September 30th numbers are currently being processed for two of the stations. Now, that's not five of the stations, but it's not zero of the stations either. So I think what I would tell you is that it's in progress 40% right now, but that also indicates that. I should add one other thing too. They can't. Tamara can't actually generate reports right now because they're in the middle of battle, where half of the financial data has basically been entered and the other half is not. So I believe that she's well on the way to having September 30th done, but it's not complete yet. So I can't give you an estimated timeline of when it would be done, but I can tell you that it's very much being worked on presently. Whether it can be finalized in 9 days, I could not tell you. But ask that question your first question as well at the first opportunity I get, which I would presume would be immediately after this call. Bill?
Okay, thanks. Just to clarify, I think Tamara told the PNB last month in September that we owed the NEDA about 60,000 then, and it would go up by another 30 or 35,000 this month, probably early this month. So we probably already owe them a lot more than 30 and then 60. And my question was, we were also been told for a while that, you know, a priority was trying to get information to the auditor. Do you know what information or how much information is still lacking or what the status is on that? Because if that's taking Netta's time too, that might be slowing down the financial reports.
Well, it is taking Netta's time. And yeah, so I do know the answer to that one too. That was another portion of the phone call this morning. I did ask that question too. Once again, this is an interim data transmission thing that's going on. And, I know that the data they're still transmitting data at this point. And, but they are, they're still working on it, despite the fact that I believe they're owed $26,000 as well. And so, yeah, it's in process. And my understanding is that it's due out shortly, I guess. I think probably what will happen here is what happened with the last set of audits that we did a few years ago. And that's that, they'll complete the audit and then they'll just sit and wait for payment. I mean, that's probably how it's going to go. And we'll have to figure out how to come up with the money to get them to kick the audit out to us. And that's probably how it's going to go, because stopping midstream later is inefficient for auditors. So they'll probably work until it's complete and then just sit on it, waiting for funds.
Provided everything that Rogers needs though?
I believe that, it's down to there's kind of a way that audits succeed as far as I know. And that's that, you provide the data, come back and say, hey, we're missing this, or there's a discrepancy here and this isn't reconciling. What's going on? Can you get us this piece of information? This chunk is missing, that sort of thing, a list of requests. And I think that what's going on right now is that Netta is complying with that list of requests. So that's where we find ourselves right now. And then all that stuff will have to be entered, and then they'll come back with a second set of questions or a third set of questions on where they are in the process. And the lists keep getting shorter over time until all the questions are answered, or answered to the best of the ability to produce a conditional audit, which is what we've received for the last couple of them, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So,
Mansoor, can I ask a question?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got plenty of time for this item, so ask away.
No, it's okay. It's clear the numbers are missing and we don't have the money, this and that. But overall, what is it? How much money are we going to owe to both auditors and NETA?
Well, according to Bill, and I have no reason to doubt him, by the end of this month, we're going to owe approximately $120,000 between those two vendors.
And the consequences of not paying them?
Well, the consequences of not paying Netta would obviously be losing Netta. Presumably, and once again, I can't offer any reassurances here because I don't know how far into this process they are. But presumably, the auditors could complete the audit, this one audit that they're working on, not any future audits, obviously, without Netta. But they won't give it to us until we pay them. So we would lose Netta, and that audit would get sat on. And if there were missing items from that audit, that would create a whole different horror for us, I think, because Netta is far more on top of the communication stream and the necessity and the data than anybody else in the organization right now. So that would put us in a very bad place. Any further questions?
Fred.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, you said a little earlier that the numbers that in the cash flow projections in the document that was sent out, I believe it's a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm.
That the second half of the year, the last 6 months, are projections, not actuals. Can you go into more detail on that? Because that I don't think that was indicated in the assumptions that some of the numbers were not actuals. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, the columns aren't labeled particularly well on that cash flow projection. I think, you know, I'm taking liberties here because I haven't actually asked this question. But I think the assumption is that a cash flow projection is inherently an estimating document. And so, you know, that's why, you know, so if I can kind of appoint a personal privilege here, I really have not spent a lot of time looking at it, is that I just, you know, I prefer to deal with numbers that we actually have crunched. So drawing directly from the audits is my preference. That doesn't actually help us plan very well, though, is the problem, which is why John requested this document. He wanted to see what might happen in the future. I would have preferred to see a projection of the profit and loss, but whatever. This document kind of combines elements of a profit and loss and a cash flow analysis. I know that the numbers. I didn't lose you guys, did I? Just now, you still there?
I'm still here.
Hello? We can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. My phone did something funny just then. I know that when I asked Tamara for numbers, that she can't give me anything past March. And so although my understanding was that they were going to update the books 2 months for every month, I never got June. And now I know that they're working on September. Basically, they're just taking the whole slab of data and trying to grind it out here, presumably because they're worried that they might have to vacate their position as our accounting service, and they're trying to get as much work done as they possibly can in a short amount of time. I haven't bothered interrogating them because, candidly, I'm terrified of the answer to that question, but that's what it looks like to me. But the short answer to your question is yes. This is the 2019 is a 50% projection, and it's already demonstrably off in terms of the data that is being provided by the local station books. Now, whether the local station books are accurate or not still needs to be determined. I think it's probably fairly close in cases where they're using the same accounting software. Not all stations are, as everybody here is aware. So it's hard for me to say how much the numbers will deviate from what we're actually looking at here for fiscal year 19, but they will deviate for sure. There is no way that these are concrete in any way, shape, or form. So, and who knows, maybe they'll come in nicer. That would be great, wouldn't it? I would love to see some blue ink at the bottom of the cash flow summary or at the top, wherever the consolidation is. For this year, I kind of have my doubts as to whether we'll see that or not, but that would be wonderful if we did. We definitely need a new cash flow summary in order to accurately see what's going on today or 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Well, follow
Chris,
up.
Chris, can I ask you a
follow
a technical question?
I'm sorry. There's two people talking. Who are the two?
Fred and Mansour.
I can
Fred
go after Fred. He has a follow up.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Fred.
Okay. Well, the follow-up was we were promised in, I believe, October that we would have the final financial documents for fiscal year 19, and they were projecting starting. I was we were told by our local business manager that they were projecting starting the 19 audit, I believe October 1st. Well, obviously all those numbers are now off, and I have no idea when they will actually start proceeding with the fiscal year 19 audit. So the question is, when will we get the final numbers, do you think, on FY19?
I'm presuming you mean fiscal year 18 that ended on September 30th of this year?
Well, actually, fiscal year 18 ended September 30th of last year, I believe.
See, I'm still trying to get my head around how we do that. When I was at the last KPFA meeting, I asked this question again for like the 10th time, because I'm always confused by it. And that's, yeah, another thing that's confusing me about the book. So if you could give me, if the entire board could give me some clarity on this issue, if I say fiscal year 19, can you give me the dates for that, please?
Well, my understanding is fiscal year 19 ends September 30th of 19. Because the new, we're now currently in fiscal year 20. Since we're in October, we're now currently in fiscal year 20. Territory.
I get it confused all the time.
You're right. Everybody does that. It is confusing.
Okay. So go ahead. Can you repeat your question if you've already gotten through it? Because I got lost in that moment.
Yeah, my basic question is, will we have the financials for the fiscal year that ended September 30th, which was just last month?
Right. So my understanding, that's what I tried to answer earlier, is that mentioned earlier, is that my understanding is that they're actually working on that currently, and that two stations have submitted. They're processing two stations worth of numbers right now. I might have written that down somewhere, which of those two stations it was. I think I did, but I'll be damned if I can find it right now. I just remember her saying that there were two stations that she's currently working on, and that so because of that, they're kind of straddling the periods right now and can't generate reports. My guess is that it's going to be done shortly, but I didn't get a specific date out of her when I talked to her this morning.
Thank you, Chris.
Sure. Mansoor?
Mansoor, yes. Chris, if you don't mind me, I want to ask you several questions, just yes and no, this and that, okay? So number one, you are a financial analyst, right? You've gone to school.
Actually, my background is engineering, but I've been running businesses since 1995. So unfortunately, I've been kind of already 92. So I've been kind of thrust into this position of having to be the chief cook and bottle washer for the last 27 years now, and I've gotten pretty good at it over time. And before that, I was just kind of nuts about investing. So I would read financial reports all the time. I asked tons of questions, and so it's all it's not school learned, but I know how. That I know reports pretty well, and unfortunately, I find these ones very confusing.
Okay, and then you have dealt with different platforms of dealing financial analysis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay. I've requested. See, this is the thing: is that I usually pay for analysis because I'm not an expert, but I need the information. I send out for it, but I have reports constantly for all the different enterprises.
I mean, you know different softwares and this and that.
I actually don't utilize anything other than spreadsheets for crunching the numbers on my own, if that's what you're asking.
Sort of, but for institution like Pacifica that has so many employees, is the software that we're using nowadays, is that the best?
Actually, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, Mansoor. In fact, I had actually never heard of this particular platform before Nita brought it up. And I actually didn't know the Great Plains platform either. Never heard of that one either. All the enterprises I deal with are small enough that they, you know, either use a program like QuickBooks or they just use whatever the accounting firm software is. And if you want, I can look into that. But do you have a specific question about the software?
No, I just wanted, I was just trying to get an understanding of your background, that how did you become a expert and how long you've been working in this field?
Well, I don't really consider myself an expert. I'm just very good at reading financial reports. So, I don't really have deep familiarity with the software, just the reports that they generate. So I do have a little bit of a puzzle going on right now about this particular software platform that I'm asking Tamara to address, and that's that I'm confused as to why it's difficult to generate a balance sheet with this software, because I've never heard of a piece of financial software that where it wasn't like an established module of that software to generate that report. So I'm a little bit puzzled by that particular facet of this software.
All right. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Our Paul for a fast one.
Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah. I asked before about where the data came from. Largely because, and I didn't want to get into the details too much, because looking at some of it, like for FY18, there should be actuals for that. FY18 ended, more than a year ago. And so they should be, and I believe we've done the FY17 audit, so that audit is done. So they should really be... dealing with the FY18 figures. And so in this cash flow, I'm getting things that don't make any sense. And that's why I'm wondering where Nita got these figures from. Like, for instance, at BAI, donations for all of FY18 are only $139. You know, people drop money off at times. And then we see community events income of zero and community special events expenses of $6,500. And this doesn't make any sense, because I know we had community events, and whatever the deal was, they made a little something, and it makes no sense to do, you know, to have that. And, these are things which for FY18 should be the actuals. They should be able to get a hold of them and say, here they are. The WBAI general manager has told the local finance committee that he's doing fine with NETA, and he has sent them all of our data. In fact, my impression is that he was sending them all the FY19 information, because they were kind of done asking BAI for stuff for FY18. So I'm wondering, that's why I'm wondering what's going on here, because the cash flow for WBAI, which I know, looks bizarre. And so something, I don't know what's going on, but especially given how things are happening lately, I really want to see what the real numbers are.
I would too. And this is what I was alluding to in my opening statement tonight, is that I agree with you, by the way, that the particularly the fiscal year 18, that's where I started, actually. And that's why I just got to the point where I was just pulling my hair out tonight, is that I'm looking at the fiscal year 18 numbers, and I'm trying to get it to reconcile in some way that, you know, makes sense based on my own anecdotal experience with KPFA.